You can't separate the Navy from the world's oceans. Almost since its founding, the Navy has maintained expertise in ocean science to help it perform its mission. Now it's launching a task force to improve its chops in ocean science. Joining me with more, Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet, the Navy's chief oceanographer and commander of the Naval Meteorological and Oceanography Command. Admiral Gallaudet, great to have you on.
Great to be with you.
First of all, tell us what this task force will do, who is on it, and what is its purpose?
Sure. The whole purpose of this task force is to advance ocean science within the U.S. and help and increase the Navy's capabilities to exploit that information. The task force is comprised of the Navy flag leadership in the Pentagon, as well as Fleet Forces Command, PAC Fleet, and the Office of Naval Research. But we include a wide array of partners in the academic community, in the private sector, and in other areas, like, for example, some NGOs that are all advocating for advanced ocean science.
Ocean science sounds like a pretty broad field. In terms of ocean science and naval operations, what is the connection there?
Well, sure. Understanding the ocean better allows us to operate both safely and more effectively, because the physical environment affects all aspects of naval operations, including our ability to conduct surveillance and reconnaissance, to actually use our weapons and our various sensors, and to communicate and navigate effectively. Think about, you know, a sea state. A sea state and high seas can limit all sorts of operations, including an aircraft carrier. I've been on board as an officer of the deck of an aircraft carrier, and when you have a very long period swell on the quarter, you're not going to be able to conduct flight ops if that swell's over eight feet or so, because even a carrier can roll like a destroyer in different sea conditions.
Where does weather end and surface conditions end and ocean science begins?
They're very much linked, because the atmosphere drives ocean circulation and sea state. So it's the currents that affect submarine operations, and it's the sea state that affects surface operations. So the atmosphere and the ocean are tightly coupled. And so really, when we talk about ocean science in general, it's the environmental system that the Navy has to operate in, from the seabed to out to space. And so we're working to advance our understanding of that. The emphasis is on the ocean itself, because we believe that our preeminent advantage against our competitors is undersea, with our undersea warfare capabilities, and that is the main focus of this task force, to ensure we preserve that competitive advantage.
So if a submarine is below the waves, then there are also currents. And what about temperature, too? Does that affect things?
Absolutely. Temperature affects sound speed and the propagation path of sound waves. So knowing that thermal structure of the ocean allows our submarine to basically see our adversaries without being seen. And that's a critical capability that naval oceanography provides.
Knowledge of the science then can help the design of instrumentation that can tell a commander of a vessel what's going on ahead.
Absolutely. That's correct. We're working to advance both the instrumentation to observe and sense ocean conditions, but also the supercomputer-powered models that predict future ocean conditions. That's equally important. And then there's a third part of it in addition, and that's these decision aids or tools. You could think of big data analytics as another term to describe the software and algorithms that predict the impact of ocean conditions on weapons, sensors, and platforms.
So how things travel from point A to point B under the water are affected by all of this?
Absolutely. And our goal is to be able to predict those impacts to a higher fidelity, more accurately, and at longer lead times.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet, the Navy's chief oceanographer and commander of the Naval Meteorological and Oceanography Command. And you've noted that very little of the ocean, much as we've been plying it for all these centuries, is actually mapped. Tell us more about some of those statistics.
Well, that's correct, Tom. You know, that we have mapped the surface of the moon and Mars, mind you, to a higher fidelity than we have our own ocean floor. For example, we've only explored 5% of the world's ocean's volume, and we've only mapped to modern standards 20% of the ocean's seafloor. And this is all at a time where 100% of the world's oceans are changing due to climate change, especially in the Arctic. And so those all are driving the Navy's desire to understand the ocean better, because after all, it's our operating environment. and we need to know it to be more effective.
Do you sense that other navies like Russia, for example, the countries that have substantial navies, are also studying these same things? And so there's a tactical purpose here too, correct?
They are. Our competitors see how good we are at understanding the ocean and predicting it, and they're trying to catch up. And that really is the whole purpose of this task force, to ensure we maintain our lead and advantage in this area.
What will the task force do specifically?
Our specific task is going to be to write out a 5-year plan or roadmap to advance our capabilities in a number of areas. We talked about a few. It's sensing and observations. It's modeling and prediction. The third is these decision aids. Another piece is our technical workforce. So this is people within academia that are our instructors. It is engineers and oceanographers and technicians at our warfare centers, and it includes people in our workforce at the Naval Oceanographic Office, all of which we want to increase the number of people, their skills, and our ability to train and maintain them in the force.
Does each ship or each, say, group have someone aboard that knows oceanography?
Yes, we have on the big decks. We have all big decks have oceanographers assigned to them for the purpose of understanding and predicting the environment. And then as needed for high-value operations, we'll send out teams of sailors along different warfare lines. So we have teams that do ASW support, teams that do strike group support, teams that do mine warfare and naval special warfare support. So really the whole Navy has different types of teams that deploy for specialized functions to predict again and assess the impact of the ocean or the atmosphere on naval operations.
Sounds like the task force will, in addition to looking at the ocean itself, talk about artificial intelligence, algorithms for analyzing data, and maybe even graphics.
That's a big part of it, absolutely. And I think naval oceanography is a leader in the man-machine teaming, if you will. Our job is big data, and so it's taking in disparate data types, whether it be from underwater drones, satellites, buoys, and then feeding that into these operational models to predict the environment and then assess impacts on the fleet. And so a lot of those, though, it'll take a skilled forecaster in the loop because not always. The analogy would be weather models. You know, you've seen probably the spaghetti plot of various model tracks, and we're still not at a point where we can totally automate the best track. It'll take a skilled forecaster in the loop who knows each model's tendency for any given region of the world and can pick that best track to keep the fleet safe.
But as the Navy moves toward more autonomous vehicles, especially underwater autonomous ones, or I guess surface too, this will come into play. But it sounds as if even with autonomy, you still need someone checking in on a device from time to time.
Well, sure. Autonomy is already greatly increasing our ability to understand the ocean. I have a fleet of nearly 200 underwater drones, different types of vehicles, from gliders to large AU autonomous underwater vehicles, and that is allowing us to do more with less and fewer people. But it's funny, you know, there really is no unmanned. You know, my fleet of vehicles still requires servicing and deployment and recovery, and so there is going to be a huge part of people in the loop.
There are other federal agencies that look at the ocean. NASA studies extensively from space and, of course, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Is there collaboration among them with the Navy?
Oh, big time. We've had longstanding partnerships with NASA and NOAA, and we will continue to do that. This task force is an opportunity to strengthen and expand those partnerships.
And what about the issues of pollution, and there's big blobs of plastic I've read about in the ocean? Do those all affect or potentially affect naval operations?
I think the impact of those aspects of the ocean and ocean conservation are fairly limited on naval operations. But we want to use our role as an expert in ocean science and oceanography as a kind of bully pulpit to advocate for the larger U.S. ocean science enterprise. And so certainly from the ocean conservation standpoint, though I will not be targeting those areas for specific, you know, advancement for the Navy, I will advocate for the larger national issues so that, conserving our oceans is important to our public, and we want to champion that cause.
And from your perch at your command, do you hear from vessel commanders, captains, that say, gosh, if I could only know this 50 miles ahead or across the ocean, I could operate better in some manner? Do you get that type of feedback?
Oh, absolutely. There is great demand to increase the lead time and the accuracy of our forecast. I'd say we do very well. When I first joined the Navy 30 years ago, we would be lucky to have a forecast for 24 hours that actually panned out. You know, now people can plan their weekend on the Monday morning workday and it'd be pretty reliable. It's either going to be, you know, sunny and you can go to a ball game or not. And the same goes for our ocean forecast and weather forecast used by the Navy. We're good, but we can do better. And as you said, you know, we're not quite there with an accurate 2-week forecast or 3-month forecast, but we have plans to get better through building better supercomputers and with the Office of Naval Research, advancing the science that underpins our models.
Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet is the Navy's Chief Oceanographer and Commander of the Naval Meteorological and Oceanography Command. Thanks so much for joining me.
It was great to be with you, Tom. Thanks.